Greetings. This is Alternative Perspectives, and you are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information. Produced by Betty Couvertier and contributions by Andre Holmes, Dion Bates, LaCara Foster, and Ghetto Gospel. Alternative Perspectives is the voice of the GLBTQI community and our allies. The focus being the issues that affect the GLBTQI community, social, economic, religious, and political, to educate and inform about the lives of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and queer and questioning community, and find the common humanity that connects us all. Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., its staff, or volunteers.
Listening to WRFG's Alternative Perspectives. I'm Dion Bates. Tonight, we will get reactions from the transgender community regarding the recent HRC dinner and the protests of that dinner. Andre Holmes will have our Pride in Politics segment, and Ghetto Gospel will give us a gay marriage update. We will also talk with Jeff Lutz, Executive Director of Soul Force, about a radical event that Soul Force is taking around the country, the American Family Outing. As always, we will have Sobo News with Diana Bagby, and joining us in the studio is special guest Dave Hayward of Touching Up Our Roots. So sit back, relax. Alternative Perspectives starts right now.
Diana, you there?
Good evening. Yes, here
okay,
I am.
What you got for us?
All right. This is Diana from Southern Voice, and here are some of the headlines. The Atlanta Pride Committee declined a sponsorship from the Human Rights Campaign over the National Gay Political Group's support for a version of the Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act that did not include gender identity as a protected category. Atlanta Pride Executive Director Donna Narducci said the Pride Committee felt they had to turn down the sponsorship in order to make Georgia's transgender community feel welcome at the Pride Festival, slated for the Atlanta Civic Center over the July 4th weekend. HRC will still be allowed to participate in the festival's market and parade. Four openly gay candidates, two men and two women, are seeking seats in the Georgia General Assembly this year. State Representative Carla Drenner, a Democrat from Avondale and State, effectively won her fifth term in office as no one challenged her for the House District 86 seat. Drenner is Georgia's first and only openly gay state lawmaker. The three other gay candidates all face opposition in either the July 15th Democratic primary or the November 4th general election. Keith Gross, a gay Atlanta Democrat, is in a head-to-head race for House District 80 with gay-friendly Representative Mike Jacobs, who switched parties over to after the last election. Gross and Jacobs face off on the November 4th ballot. Kevin Clark, a Georgia Equality Board member, is running for the strongly Democratic State Senate District 2 seat from Savannah, and Keisha Waits would make history as the first openly gay person of color elected to a state-level office if she wins in the House District 61 race in southwest Atlanta. Waits is one of seven Democrats running for that post. And Georgia Tech's Safe Space Initiative, a faculty training program funded by student activity fees, cannot include information in its training materials and website that labels certain religions in a negative context because of their views on homosexuality, a federal judge has ruled. Characterizing some religions as welcoming of homosexuals while labeling others as anti-gay represents a, quote, clear preference of one religion over another and violates the First Amendment prohibition against the establishment of a religion, the judge ruled. Georgia Tech said the religious information was removed a year ago and the ruling was moot. And for more information on these stories and others, check us out at www.sovo.com. Those are the headlines.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Digital and man. Digital is artificial intelligence. Analog is also electric biology. There's someone who is more innocent. You need to choose to get up with your own biology.
Okay, and now with our same-sex marriage blast, we have Ghetto Gospel on the line, who's calling in.
All right, Ghetto Gospel with the same-gender marriage blast.
All right, go ahead.
All right, well, ruling in California's marriage case expected this month, statewide rallies planned the evening of the decision. Not only may California face anti-gay, anti-marriage ballot initiatives, in November, the Florida State Division of Elections announced their November ballot will include an initiative that would ban marriage for same-gender couples, bar civil unions, and deny partner benefits to same-gender couples and unmarried couples that live together. While California's proposed initiative will not affect domestic partnerships, it only requires 50% of voters to change the state constitution. Florida, at a higher bar, at 60% to change their state constitution. In Pennsylvania, there is also an effort to change the state constitution to ban marriage and civil unions for same-gender couples. Supporters, including Marriage Equality USA's own Pennsylvania chapter, are working hard to defeat this proposed amendment. It needs approval of the full Senate and House, and then would have to be approved again by both houses before it could be put on the ballot. The earliest that could happen is in 2009, efforts to put a question on the November ballot asking voters to ban same-gender marriage overcame a major roadblock Monday, passing through a closely divided state house. A lack of support had stalled the measure for weeks, and it appeared early April. But supporters managed to drum up the votes they needed in time for a Monday morning roll call, due in part to two domestic crossover votes. Now the proposed constitutional amendment heads to the Senate, where President Tembe, a Tuscan Republican, introduced an identical resolution earlier this year, and where Republicans have a wider majority. This is Ghetto Gospel, and that's all for the same-gender marriage blast.
Okay.
You're listening to Alternative Perspective.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ghetto Gospel, for taking time and calling in for this, okay?
Oh, anytime, anytime. Great show. Have a great show.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And Ghetto Gospel had to work this evening, so she was calling in to give us her report. Okay, and right now we have Andre with his special report. Let me turn you on first so that we can hear you. Okay.
Hey, Betty.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay. I'm still on that flight time. I have jet lag. Okay.
All right. Well, we're glad that you're back. And I'm Andre Holmes, and this is another exciting edition of Pride in Politics, where the personal is political. In this segment, we're looking at the way art further social change efforts. And joining me this evening is Dave Hayward, coordinator and founder of Touching Up Our Roots.
Hey, Andre. Hey, everyone.
And for those of you who don't know what Touching Up Our Roots is, it is an LGBTQ history initiative here in the state. Talk a little bit about it, Dave.
Yeah, the mission of Touching Up Our Roots is to preserve, promote, and publicize the contributions that LGBT people have made to expanding civil rights for all people, to creating civic and neighborhood organizations, and to enhancing local, national, and regional culture. So the three C's, it's contributions that we as LGBT people have made to civil rights, to civics, and to culture.
Now, your latest endeavor is a partnership with Actors Express, who is currently showing the play Some Men, which is by Terrence McNally, the Tony Award-winning writer of Love, Valor, and Compassion. And the play is directed by Kent Gash. Talk a little bit about the play.
Okay. It's basically an overview of the history of gay men. It doesn't really focus on lesbians or trans people. It's in passing. But it's primarily the history of gay men and bisexual men from 1922 to 2008. And so it's a series of scenes that you see different slices of life through the years.
And so your role, or Touching Up Our Roots' partnership, is after the event on Thursday the 15th.
Right.
That is showing the showing of Some Men,
right.
And then afterwards there's going to be a panel discussion called Saving Our Stories.
Saving Our Stories, yeah. We actually have an exhibit in the lobby that'll be there through the run of the show through May 31st, and there's pictures of events in Atlanta and Georgia, mm-hmm. and there's even pictures from the very first march that we had in 1972. There was a march in 1971, but they would not give them a permit to march in the streets, so they had to march on the sidewalks. So the very first march in the streets was in 1972, and there's pictures there of that, and pictures of, you know, different events through the years. And so what we're doing with that is to have education and have people know the story, and then also to do a program like this. We did one last week where we talked about the current issues with people from Lambda Legal, from Youth Pride, and from Aid Atlanta. And then we also wanted to do a thing where people would tell their own stories and talk about things that are in the play that are reflected in their own lives. So we'll have Winston Johnson, who was a good friend of Coretta Scott King and was the person who got Coretta Scott King involved in the gay rights movement and speaking up for gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be there, and he'll be talking about how he was almost fired once when he was accused of being a gasp homosexual, and what it was like when he was he's in his 60s, and how difficult it was you know, be out and mm-hmm. how nobody really was out. And
Dave, why are these stories important?
I think that a lot of, you know, when I look at it myself, a lot of things I forget, and you don't want to focus all the time. It's kind of boring to, you know, think about, gee, oh, I'm so oppressed, whatever. But when you look at this whole dramatization that you see on the stage, and then you've got people who were there, like Winston and other people. We hope that Kent Gash, the director of the show, will be part of the program too, who can actually talk about in their own lives how these events are reflected in their own lives, and that the fact that you know, people had to struggle with being out, and the threat of losing their job, and the resistance within the community itself. There was when we did Gay Pride, I was involved in organizing Gay Pride in 1972 when I first got here. And there was tremendous resistance from the community itself. We actually were physically ejected from bars, from gay bars, for leafleting about Gay Pride because it was threatening to people. And there was this whole kind of sense that the bars used to sort of be like speakeasies, and you would kind of go, and a lot of times they would be sort of like hideaways, mm-hmm. and it was this kind of thing of, you know, don't rock the boat, and don't be too out, and don't be too public, because, you know, we're not being hassled, but we could be hassled, we could be closed down, and you know.
Well, the interesting thing is when people are out and they're in clubs, they're trying to get their party on. They
That's
are
right.
trying to kind of escape some of the realities of life and have a good time. So you're kind of like some of them may have viewed this as being a party pooper, so to speak, and dampening their thrill. So how were you able to kind of win people over?
Well, like I say, you don't want to concentrate all the time about how oppressed you are or something mm-hmm. like that. But the important thing is for people to be able to see how far we've come. Because, you know, you see the show, and we had a really good discussion last week. And people said, I just didn't even imagine that, you know, there, you know, you ever went through this, you were harassed by the police just for going into a bar. I mean, you could be in a bar getting your party on, and the police didn't want you to get your party on. There's a man who I wish was still with us. His name is Billy Jones. Mm-hmm. And he was the one of the very first female impersonators in Atlanta. And he passed away a couple years ago. But one of the things that he told us was that when he was in drag on stage, the city ordinance was that he had to be wearing at least 6 different pieces of men's clothing when he was in drag.
Really?
Yeah. And so what they would
So what would they call that if he violated that?
Well, he could be arrested and, you know, dragged off to jail and that kind of thing. And I don't recall if he ever told me if he were arrested or not, but he was definitely harassed. He was definitely hassled. The police monitored him, and they checked, you know, are you wearing 6 pieces of men's clothing? And he would be in a gown on stage, right? And under the gown, he would have boxer shorts and briefs, and he would wear athletic socks.
Oh, my God.
And he would be wearing
story.
Men's sneakers. And, you know, people have no idea about that. And the point of it is not to wallow in the past, but to just say, you know, look how far we've come. And also that we are a very strong people, and that we have, you know, we have survived a lot, and we, you know, still we rise.
So do you think, in terms of, how would you compare the experience then of now? Because we recently, this is prom season.
Right.
And every prom season there seems to be a story about someone dressing up, a guy dressing up in a prom dress, and that causes some controversy in the high schools. I have not heard any stories of this season coming through, but you know, where are we at with this whole self-expression piece of people expressing their sexuality in these ways?
I think we're freer than we ever have been before, and I think there's more latitude than there ever has been, and a lot of people tell me that in certain situations, it's kind of a non-issue. It's not, but you never know, and it's like that's why you can't be complacent about it, mm-hmm. and people still need to be ready to stand up for their rights, because you can still get harassment and hassling, and you just don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But from what people had told me when we had this discussion last week, for example, we were talking about how there's controversy about gay marriage. And one of the guys who was real younger anyway, maybe, 30 or something like that, or maybe even in his 20s. And he said, what's the controversy? What would there be controversy about? And we said, well, some people say that if we have same-sex marriage, then we're just like straight people. Or we're trying to be just like straight people. And what's the difference? What's the difference anymore? And what about the idea of being different and having some kind of an edge and maybe pushing the envelope and not totally conforming to society and that kind of thing. And one of the guys that was with us too, he's probably like in his 40s, I guess. And he was saying that things are so different now than they were then, because he said when he came out, which is probably like 20 years ago or something like that, he said, I came out into a community. There was a real strong sense of community, and I came out into an extended family kind of thing, where I had friends, and I had friends of friends, and I had lovers, and I had ex-lovers, and we were all like sort of a brotherhood, and we all had this extended community, this extended family feeling. And he said, but now with what's happening, it's kind of like everybody is pairing off and everybody is codifying their relationship, and everybody is really concerned about, being able to inherit and money and joint, returns.
Do you think it's that, or do you think, with any movement, as you try to gain your rights, you become infused into the larger culture?
Right.
And that's one of the prices to integration, or to kind of mainstreaming the idea of, there is a part of the movement that says we're just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so going along with that will be manifestations, mm-hmm. that of that. So does that, to the activist point of view, before I ask that, I wanted to really get into where are the new fights or the new battlegrounds in the movement, because where I hear you talking about the relationship component,
mm-hmm.
I see a lot of headway. This fall we talked about ENDA and the Non-Discrimination Employment Act. We're seeing more people in business. When we talk about these stories, it seems like a lot of people are transitioning from they're moving into new territory, mm-hmm. so to speak. We're getting more into the business arena. There is other kind of facets to us that extend beyond the Pride celebration. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think when we're talking about who we are, we're really talking about communities. And there's a lot of different communities. So we can't. A lot of times I think there's pressure for us all to agree. We're not going to all agree. There's pressure for us all to be the same. We're not all going to be the same. And one of the things that I see that's really powerful now is the whole issue of ENDA and trans people and a lot of these issues that people are exploring of their gender identity, their gender identification, and a whole different kind of expression of sexuality than there has been before. And I think basically it's kind of like, to me it reminds me of everyday people, different strokes for different folks. And kind of like saying, so come on, it's just like, let's all kind of agree to disagree, all agree to live together, or we have all kinds of different expressions. And can we all, they talk about like the big tent or the big umbrella, and to be able to be under that. Because I think the problem we get into is when people are trying to sort of force their views or force their lifestyles upon other people, and that don't work. It won't, and we just have to kind of learn to be at least if not love each other, kind of coexist and say we're all in this together. Like when I was talking to Judy O'Kelly with Lambda Legal, she was in our group last week, and She and I talked about the whole issue with ENDA, and she said the basis of the discrimination is the same. She said because people will discriminate against a very effeminate man, or you know, quote unquote effeminate, you know, traditionally effeminate, or you know, or a woman who's perceived as being masculine, a butch, lesbian, in other words, in the same way that they'll discriminate against people who are trans people. And she said the basis of the discrimination is the same. So, you know, it's kind of, you're kind of splitting hairs and parsing, and you have to, you can't really do that.
I see.
So,
well, again, the program is Some Men, directed by Kent Gash. The play is written by Terrence McNally. It's showing at Actors Express. If you want more information about that, please log on to www.actors-express.com. The program and discussion that Dave Hayward and the Touching Up Our Roots has organized will follow after the 8 p.m. performance of Some Men.
Right. Can I also add, we have a website now, website in progress, www.touchingupourroots.org.
Okay, we
website.
So, finally.
Congratulations.
Finally, we have somebody on the line. Tracy wants to make a comment. Okay, go ahead. Hello? Oh. You're online.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Great show, first of all. And I just want to make a comment to what Dave just said about working together, and we're all in this together, and not forcing your views on other people. We can agree to disagree, but we still have to work towards the same goal. So I just want to commend you, Dave, for expressing that so eloquently. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
And you guys sound fantastic. So keep up the great work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And?
Well, we've wrapped up our Pride in Politics segment, where the personal is political. Tune in next week as we continue our series about the way art furthers social change. I'm Andre Holmes.
Jeff Lutz of Soul Force. Jeff, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Jeff. First of all, again, I want to thank you for agreeing to be on with us today. I know that you're a very busy person, but we really appreciate it here at Alternative Perspectives. Briefly tell our listeners a little bit about Soul Force. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show. Soul Force is a national social justice organization that was started by the Reverend Dr. Mel White, who used to work for Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, Oliver North, Jim Baker, Pat Robertson, until he came out as a gay man, and then he was immediately disowned by them. And through a strange series of events, he was contacted by Coretta Scott King, and began to learn about the principles of nonviolence that Dr. King and Gandhi used in the struggle for equality. And so he began to study that information and begin to teach people how to use the principles of nonviolent resistance in the fight for equality for LGBT people.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe a month ago, I was at a meeting where I met your media specialist, Paige, and the meeting dealt with this really, what I'm calling a really radical event that is happening now called the American Family Outing. And I know that Soul Force has partnered with the National Black Justice Coalition as well as a few other organizations. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the American Family Outing is and what is its significance?
Well, the American Family Outing is an idea that came to me last summer as my family was vacationing. I had been watching, as many of us had, and reading about the fact that Jerry Falwell passed away, as mm-hmm. well as D. James Kennedy, who is lesser known to the general public, but certainly quite influential among evangelical Christians for many, many years with a huge radio and television network like Falwell. And so as the, quote, old guard, you might say, mm-hmm. is getting older and passing away, there's this new, what we call the emerging evangelical leader, many of them starting huge mega churches around the country. And so I was vacationing last summer and walking through an airport and saw Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes on the cover of books mm-hmm. staring back at me in a bookstore. And I just got me thinking about what would it be like if we tried to get our families, because obviously LGBT people have families as well. What if we tried to get our families to meet theirs mm-hmm. and just have some conversation and see if we could take a small step? I don't think any of us are naive to think that the earth will shake, but change mm-hmm. happens through conversation and dialogue. And I just wondered what would happen if we got our families together. So that's what we're doing between Mother's Day and Father's Day. We've chosen six of the largest mega churches in the country and six of the most influential evangelical leaders in the country. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, we just got back from Lakewood Church in Houston.
How did that go?
Well, you know, unfortunately, Joel Osteen in Lakewood was one of two churches, the other being Bishop Eddie Long and New Birth mm-hmm. Near Atlanta, that so far had not contacted us or agreed to a meeting. They contacted us just a few days before we were to arrive in Houston, and this is after about 5 months of writing and calling them, and did not agree to a meeting. But we held a press conference, and we mm-hmm. educated the general public on our effort, and we, since Lakewood would not host us, we invited the people of Lakewood to attend a picnic that we hosted that day, and that was well covered in the media. A few folks came out, and as a result of that, to make a long story short, Joel Osteen did have a private meeting with Jay Baker, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's mm-hmm. son, Jay, mm-hmm. who is helping us in this effort. And so I feel like if we hadn't gone, if we hadn't have done the press conference, mm-hmm. You know, the likelihood of Joel agreeing to meet with Jay was probably not very good. So I'm glad we did it, because they did have a conversation, and it's a small seed, but again, mm-hmm. that's how things grow. And
now, were you made privy to what was discussed in that conversation, or are you able to talk publicly about what was discussed in that conversation?
I can tell you that Jay felt that he felt he was treated well, particularly by Joel Osteen, mm-hmm. And that the meeting was respectful, but it was pretty clear to him that Lakewood is not yet ready to take this step. Mm-hmm. To actually sit down with families like ours.
Well, now, you mentioned also New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, which is here in Atlanta, where Bishop Eddie Long is pastor. And when will you all be coming to New Birth? And being that you have not received a response from Bishop Long or New Birth representatives, what are you expecting by coming to New Birth?
Well, we've got a couple of weekends ahead of that. We're getting ready to go to Potter's House with T.D.
Jakes, right,
this weekend, and he has agreed to meet with us.
Really?
Personally, as well as his staff. I was on the phone with him today, and it looks like it's going to be somewhere between 50 and 80 people or so, roughly half and half our folks and leaders and others from their church, and we'll be doing that. We'll be attending their Sunday service, the 11:30 service, and then getting together for some refreshments and conversation after that. The following weekend in Beltsville, Maryland, just outside of D.C., Bishop Harry Jackson, who certainly is on record as not being supportive of our community, and I'm being kind. he's really on record as very much opposed to our community, but he also has agreed to meet with us. We're having dinner Saturday night of that weekend, and then attending worship services the next day. So, you know, several churches have agreed to meet with us. Willow Creek has also agreed to meet with us, and Saddleback in California. We haven't firmed things up yet, but things are looking positively there. So it's distressing to us that New Birth and Eddie Long have not contacted us, but we're going to keep holding out hope. Closing 2 weeks leading up, we'll probably amplify our efforts a little bit or renew our efforts to reach out to them.
Well, Jeff, we've only got about 30 seconds left.
Sure.
But before I let you go, can you just tell people how to find out more about Soul Force and the American Family Outing and how they can get involved?
Sure. Our website is www.soulforce.org, and you can read all about our history there. At the very top of the home page right now, it talks about the American Family Outing, and you can scroll down and click on the photo and the text of Eddie Long and New Birth, and that will tell you everything you need to know. And if you're interested, you can register to join us.
Okay. Great. Well, again, I really appreciate you coming on. I know that it was a really quick interview, but we're going to have you back in a couple of weeks, and you can give us a more extensive report of what has happened with the American Family Outing. And on that particular show, I think Troy Sanders will also be in the house joining us as well.
Wonderful.
But I thank you again for joining us, and I wish you the best with the American Family Outing. And I look forward to meeting you soon.
Me too. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
That was great. Thank you, Dion, for that interview with Soul Force. That was very good, and I'm looking forward to the 27th when we have a lengthier conversation with them regarding as far as what happens with
Eddie Long.
Yeah.
And T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes,
impressed that they were able to get T.D. Jakes to agree to meet with them, so I'm really interested in knowing what happens during that meeting. And hopefully, you know, with the people that they have gotten to agree to meet with them, hopefully that will soften the hearts of Eddie Long and New Birth to at least take the time to meet with them.
That would be something.
Else, it would really be
that
great.
Would be really historical here in Atlanta, considering all that's happened.
Exactly.
You know, with Eddie Long. Yeah, but
so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, that would be great, though. I'm looking forward to that one. That's on the 27th of this month.
Correct.
Okay, so everybody put it down on your calendar if you want to know more about the Soul Force and their action and what they're doing, approaching churches and building that community and relationship with the families. In the meantime, going back to what was reported earlier and what some of you have read already in SOVO regarding Atlanta Pride, turning down the sponsorship of HRC due to the lack of on the part of HRC to support of all-inclusive ENDA, which is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And there were two bills. The bill that was passed in the House excluded gender identity. There was an original bill that included it, and they sort of kind of put that into the background and on the back burner, or discarded it totally. And another bill was presented by Barney Franks, who is the only gay representative in Congress. He's from Massachusetts, and he brought up this new bill that excluded gender identity, and in so doing, excluded the transgender community. Okay, and I'm going to just read three of the emails that have been received by Atlanta Pride from across the nation regarding their action and their decision to not accept the sponsorship, which is, you know, sizable, and at a time when there is a move from the park to a new venue and the dollars are much needed, but standing up for what's right. And I must add that I am proud. I mean, really proud. I stand tall and proud of being a member of such an organization as Atlanta Pride, who will stand up for human rights and civil rights when it's needed the most, okay? And one of the emails, I'm not going to read the names of the people who sent it, but it came from across the nation, from Alabama all the way across to from Oklahoma to California, other executive directors of organizations and transgender organizations, and they just kept coming one behind the other after the news broke in SOVO on Friday. One says, I just read in Southern Voice Online that Atlanta Pride declined, I'm reading, a sponsorship from the HRC because of their support for a non-trans inclusive ENDA. And good for you. It's encouraging to see that there are still people who put principles before money. Cheers, it signs, and then the name. And then also there was another one. I said, I want to thank you for standing up for the transgender community. It is not often that a pride organization does this in response to HRC's sellout at the expense of the transgender community. Your organization has taken a big step in healing the rift between the GLB and the T community. And it goes on, you should be commended for your courage in standing up for us. But those are two of the many that were received by Atlanta Pride. And it's, like I said before, it's a privilege to belong to such an organization that recognizes the need to stand up on behalf of those who are the most marginalized in our community and who were left out of legislation that would protect them in not only, you know, but in everyday living, from the jobs to housing to medical care, and, you know, in its, it just seems to me that it's unreasonable for Congress to leave out, okay, and unreasonable for HRC to stand with Congress, who would leave out because they're not comfortable with. And it just seems to be, it doesn't seem to be, but it's just not right. It's just not right. And Atlanta stood up, Atlanta Pride stood up for what is right. And if anybody's out there, I had asked a few of the transgender folks from here in Atlanta to call in if they wished. I also had gotten an email from up in Massachusetts from Ethan St. Perry. And he has an internet radio show, and he has asked me, we have to figure out how to do it, because I'm not sure. He wants to simulcast this show on his show. So he said he can do that, so maybe hopefully we'll be able to do that as soon as I figure out how it's all done. If anyone is out there from the transgender community who would like to speak and give their opinion and have remarks or comments to make, please call. The number is 404-523-8989. I would be more than happy to hear from you. That's the latest in the Atlanta ENDA and HRC. And I'll call the HRC part of it a debacle. Dion, do you have anything to say? Andre, do you have anything to say on it? We have a few minutes left. And
this is monumental. I mean, Atlanta Pride has really, taken a huge step in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I my hats go off to Atlanta Pride.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to call back.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to commend Atlanta Pride for taking such a monumentous step towards making sure that transgender individuals aren't excluded. So I want to say publicly, hooray, hooray, hooray for Atlanta Pride.
All right. I thank you for that. It's a very important step, I think, and maybe a step that will give other organizations.
Has there been any feedback from HRC since Atlanta Pride has taken this stance?
Not that I know of. I mean, you know, it's they're still going to have a booth,
mm-hmm.
you know, at Pride. But I haven't heard back if there has been. Mm-hmm. But maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll have somebody from the Atlanta Pride, either board or the staff, come on and let us know. That's not my privilege to be able to speak on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's internal.
Sure.
Okay. As a member of the Atlanta Pride Committee, mm-hmm. I can say, like I said before, I am extremely proud mm-hmm. to be a member of such an organization that steps forward for the human rights and the civil rights of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just want to make another comment. I think it's very important that we continue to communicate with each other. Like Dave said earlier, we may not agree on the path to take, but it's very important that we agree to disagree at mm-hmm. times,
right.
and also agree to continue communication, because if we stop communicating with each other,
mm-hmm.
with each other, we'll never get anything accomplished. Of course, we're going to be hurt. And of course, the non-inclusion of individuals like myself
mm-hmm.
in such a bill that would begin to decrease the discrimination that we face on a daily basis. Of course we're upset about it. We're angry about it.
Well,
and we still need to be able to talk with each other, not at each other, and belittle each other, because this is so much bigger than an individual person. This is affecting an entire community of people who have been told consistently, just because you identify as something that we don't believe that you should identify as, you don't deserve to be protected. You don't deserve to be treated as the human being that we all are. So, of course, it hurts.
But Tracy, I think you make an excellent point. I don't think that communication can stop between the two groups. But at the same time, I think that, I guess my question is, because I haven't really heard an answer to this question, and I guess I throw it at you to just kind of get your thoughts. You know, I tend to believe that there has to be some responsibility and some accountability. But at the same time, you know, how do you go forward from here? Where does the transgender community go from here in terms of a relationship with HRC?
Well, we can't stop the relationship. It's impossible to just end a relationship mm-hmm. with someone that's doing the work. Mm-hmm. The work is there. There's going to be mistakes made along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to be honest and open about the mistakes, mm-hmm. because if you don't acknowledge what has been done, there mm-hmm. is absolutely no way to move forward. Mm-hmm. So that first of all, the truth needs to be told
mm-hmm.
in order to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we may not agree with the way things have been done, the way HRC has chosen to deal with whatever they've decided to do, but we still have to try to find some sort of way to continue to work together and you know, work towards the same goal, because I believe ultimately
mm-hmm.
we all want the same, but there's still discrimination. So,
well, you know, I'll be very honest. I've had issues with HRC way before this whole ENDA thing took place. But at the same time, I think you're right to some extent in that, you know, they are doing some work, and I do say some work, because, you know, as inclusive as they try to portray themselves, I think HRC has been very exclusive to certain populations, and what we're seeing now in the transgender community, we're seeing it even louder.
Absolutely.
This is not the first time that HRC has been exclusive to a certain population. But,
absolutely.
But at the same time, I think you're right. We still need to communicate with them. I think we still need to hold them accountable. And this is my opinion. This is just my opinion. Everybody here may not necessarily agree with me, but this is my opinion. I have remained very silent about the whole HRC thing up until now.
I agree with you, Dion, that they have to be accountable.
But they have to be accountable. And we have to continue to have conversations with them. And you're right, we do have to be open, we do have to speak in truth, and we have to make them accountable and responsible for the things that they say to our community.
I absolutely agree. And I don't want to be misunderstood as defending HRC. That's not what I'm calling in to do. I'm not here to defend their actions. They're big enough to defend their own actions.
Right, right.
I'm just looking at the bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
As far as what really needs to be done, because it takes a lot of work
and it takes
a lot of effort.
And we need people like you who are able to look at the bigger picture. Particularly with issues like this, when we get so focused in on, you know, this one thing that has happened. But, you know, again, we need to continue to communicate with them. We need to continue to you know, be there to tell them what it is our community needs. If they represent our community, then they need to know what it is that we need and do whatever is necessary to fulfill those needs.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I'm so happy to see that we're all, you know, working towards the same goal. And it's overwhelming what has... I don't want to say that it's a good thing.
Okay,
that
we're down to the last minute and a half, so we have
happened,
to wrap up.
But I want to say that the way that our community, our entire community, the GLB and the T come together around this, I am so proud and I am so moved by the support that we're receiving.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. We're down to the last minute, so we have to wrap this up, and I have to say my good nights. Okay, thank you for calling. Talk
You're
to you
welcome.
Soon.
Have a great good night, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, and wrapping it up, I'll have the last word. Okay, and HRC does have to be accountable. And relationships cannot be built on lies. And they continue to lie, even in their explanation, okay, that Joe misspoke. He didn't misspeak. Okay, he knew exactly what he said, when he said it, and he should not have said it, okay? Because the decisions had already been made when he spoke in September. And they're still trying to convince folks that he misspoke. So they're still lying. And that's the worst thing that they could do, you know? So... anyway, we got to go. Did you want to say a quick? No? Okay. We got to go. And I bid you all good night. Thank you for listening. Buenas noches.